The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
All right, now, new week, new money right here on Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. Afternoon, Major League Baseball. Yes, we'll talk about it. The draft this Thursday. Is it this Thursday? By the way, I don't even know. I'm just going to say Thursday. So
You were good. You're on
fire. All right. I was on a roll there. Maybe this Thursday. Apparently it is. But more importantly here, the minute we get off the air, Shams, Woj, lighting up the Twitter sphere, because it looks like Kyrie went back to the Nets and said, hey, you didn't really mean that. You didn't want me to, opt back in, right? And the Nets go, did you get our first response? That is our only response. And it looks like Kyrie will be on the move.
I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it is absolutely fantastic here. And really, reasonable minds, I think, are going to be able to disagree. I think there's a lot of layers here, right? But for those that didn't see this, this is not just a headline news because Kyrie might leave Brooklyn.
Yes.
The first two teams that get dropped by Shams, and the report added a third team, and I don't know why he left the third team out of the headline. Here are the three teams that he listed as potential Kyrie destinations. The Lakers, the Clippers, and the Knicks. Headline, headline, headline. This sets up for so many dominoes here, Don. I mean, there's so many different angles we can take with this Kyrie Irving story.
It is a good one here because it was nice to see, as we like to tell the story of the NBA through the eyes of free agency in the offseason, where the finals just gets done. And in about 24 hours, you're going to be like, who won last year's NBA final? Who did win that? But you're going to start ramping up with trades, free agency, draft. The NBA offseason never ceases to amaze me, and coming right up here, it's going to dominate. You watch ESPN, whatever sporting outlet you see, it's going to be Kyrie, Kyrie, Kyrie. Now, they call it an impasse, which is a fancy for a word that says, the Nets don't want him back. It's pretty clear. So I don't know who's, let's just say camp is letting this out here, that it's going this way. But an impasse means Kyrie said, yeah, I'm coming back. And that's like, I don't know about that.
So I think it's, if Kyrie, Don, is like, all right, I obviously was maybe a little difficult to deal with. I have some injury history. To label me as unreliable maybe is a little fair. Let's meet in the middle, right? I think that this could get done. I think Kyrie, though, Donnie, is not just, well, look, I'm going to be back. It's, well, you're going to give me a max extension, right? 5 years, and, within 3 years, he's making nearly $50 million per.
Yeah.
By the way, just to quickly add, as gargantuan as that number is, just know it's going to be related to the salary cap continuously going up. So we're going to get to a point where there's going to be a lot of people making 50 per. But with that being said, what it really seems to be the situation is the Nets are like, how are we committing 5 years to this guy? it can't be done. And it begs the question is, could there be any team willing to do such a thing? And should the Nets be willing to do such a thing? I can tell you this with a guarantee, because I don't want us to get cut off here. We've got a lot of time, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I can tell you one team I know for sure that should be willing to give Kyrie Irving a blank check, whatever it takes, to get the deal done.
And who might that team be?
Hey, Donnie. The Los Angeles Lakers are right now in a position where they are booked as the 12th
Two guys
favorite.
Hate each other.
Who?
Two guys Donnie, hate like, each other over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like Kyrie's always at, like, LeBron's always out there tweeting nice things about Kyrie. Kyrie's like, I was never that big of a problem. Like, we're good here. I mean, there's a reason why the Lakers are on that list. And let's be honest here, Donnie, what, how much do they hate each other that all of a sudden he's like, hold on a minute. So in order for me to unlock the money that I've always wanted, my sacrifice is competing for championships with a guy I won championships for in beautiful, sunny Los Angeles. Yeah, I think bygones would be bygones by the end of the day.
It's going to be interesting to see where it plays out. And so free agency starts what exact day?
We're not there yet. But, Don, it's like
are we weeks away?
Land,
2 weeks?
The technical answer, Donnie, is probably like July 4th, and the honest answer is like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, as we pointed out this morning with some other topics, I mean, the deals have, I'm sure, have already been kind of underway. I'm sure there's a couple of people that know their new homes.
It's like the tampering in the NFL where it's like, all right, the Eagles just signed X player. The Giants signed X player. But, yeah, the team can't actually send that official tweet out for another 6 days, even though it's been basically confirmed at this point. So you're right. We're going to get some answers quickly back, and maybe it's from the players themselves on Instagram or Twitter that shows, like, hey, look at this. Would be LeBron James tweet later in the day. Man, you know what? It would be nice for a reunion out here. Like, oh, okay, that's where he's going at this point, right? Or, like, you know, snap backwards. Like, let me just do an IG live, and he's on, you know, talking. Not LeBron James, but just Kyrie Irving at this point. Hey, what do you think about the Lakers? Yeah, I don't think that's in my future. Like, they're going to tip their hands right away. They're not going to be able to be coy for 2 weeks until you let
Kyrie
them know.
Kyrie already tweeted. Did you see that?
What did he say? No.
He tweeted out a GIF from The Wire. And the scene, you know, obviously everybody was on the case immediately. I've never actually watched The Wire. Was basically
somebody
where a guy
goes, somebody would come after
it's
you.
Time for reform. It's time for reform. As in, it's time for change. All right, time for change. New team.
Yeah, try this one out. Go on Twitter and say, I've never watched The Wire and don't care to. And you'll get some interesting responses there. We'll be right back on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on Moneyline on a Monday afternoon. New week, new money. Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. The telephone numbers to get through, 844-843-6879. Just underway right now, the New York Mets and the Miami Marlins. Minus 186 here for the Mets as a favorite. Over under listed at 8.5. Two pitchers that, quite frankly, you should probably be able to get after a little bit. And I do see a base hit right off the bat here. Off a deflected ball off Escobar. So maybe an error, maybe a base hit, we'll see. But nonetheless, it took a really bad hop on him. That's probably going to, I don't know if he could judge as an error or not. We'll see what the official score comes up as. But we'll play it off and see what happens here. Any thoughts here on this early game between the Mets and the Marlins? Didn't love it all that much, but possibility of runs makes sense.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe there would be a live approach. I mean, you know, obviously I checked through the strikeout props. There wasn't much doing there for me. In that department, I guess. To be honest, you know, isn't the expectation just the Mets will win? Lost yesterday, right? The chance to, you know, win on their home field. I know that that's very simplistic, but the Mets, not too dissimilar from the Yankees, have kind of earned. It's similar to the Dodgers; they've earned that thought process there.
Yeah, true. Absolutely true. So we'll see how this rolls through throughout the day. We'll keep an eye on it. But this is the only afternoon Major League Baseball game. We have a decent slate a little bit later. You know, talking about some games that really matter in division play. And as we see, Chisholm is up here, 1-1 count here, going up against Peterson. So again, we'll keep you updated there. We'll certainly hit the Major League Baseball card a little bit later, but I always like to go into, you know, what has happened, you know, recapping the weekend a little bit on a Monday, since we don't have those action flurries of, oh no, we do have a Stanley Cup game tonight, but no NBA that's finished. And, you know, the hot topic of the day, per se, has been, you know, Kyrie Irving and where he is going to go. But I do like to still pick on yesterday golf and how it ended up. Not so much where the, you know, PGA was victorious because a PGA player won the U.S. Open, but it's going to be interesting to see the LIV Golf Challenge and how it moves forward and what sort of impact it has. Now, would they have loved for Dustin Johnson to win the U.S. Open? Of course they would, but he didn't. They didn't perform all that well, but I don't really think in the grand scheme of things that's, you know, a ton, like a, you know, a big weight off their shoulders if they can't get a win on one of these majors. But I do see one of the golf beat writers, right, regarding LIV Golf or LIV Golf, fans don't want a 54-hole shotgun start exhibition that is only about money. They want to see what you saw at the U.S. Open, a 72-hole grind among the titans of the game. We're winning. The title means everything. Now, I understand that. And it just sounds like, you know, of course nobody just wants to watch an exhibition. But if it turns into a legitimate tour where you have multiple, like, you know, top 50 players who are moving the needle, that's a lot different. And of course, like, also you have to bank it's like, this isn't the PGA Tour. The Open is not the PGA yes. Tour. You know what I mean? So you can't just say, like, well, the PGA Tour won it and those guys were dominant. It's not a PGA Tour event, because I'm going to tell you right now, what's higher, you know, rated this week? The U.S. Open from this past weekend with a star-studded field down the stretch, including the world's best golfers, or the Travelers Championship, which will get 1/10 of the ratings that the U.S. Open got now that it's back on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I mean, what a ridiculous comparison that is really misleading. Like, oh, man, LIV will never live up to a major. No, duh! I say maybe, but that's not the point. The comparison, Donnie, is the Canadian RBC from a week before. I'll give someone $100 if they tell me what the final group was. Everybody knows yeah. Rory won. I mean, stop it. So it's such a ludicrous comparison. And to be honest with you, and this is, again, like this sneaky thing that I think sometimes they're not realizing, the win for LIV is simply the fact that their golfers can be there. And it's not even for the exposure. It's because that's not being taken away from them. Because that's what everybody loves about golf, the majors. We don't talk about, you know, anything golf-related outside of the majors, right, other than LIV these days, it feels like. As long as Dustin and Bryson and Phil can play there, then they're fine, LIV. It's just, that's just such a... It's just such a dishonest comparison, Donnie. It really, really is.
Yes, and also, it you know, the purses, for the regular, like, if you're watching the U.S. Open yesterday, if the purse was $1 or $10 million for the winner, the same people would still watch. Like, the whole thing, like, okay, it's a $4 million purse in the LIV Golf Tour. Nobody really, we don't really care about that. We just want to see good golf the way it pertains. But the reason why it's important is when you have those big paydays, more golfers are willing to come over, therefore making your product better. They want to get paid, right? But we don't care. Like, oh, man, so happy for Mickelson, got $200 million, man. And then just, you know, took a nosedive in back-to-back tournaments. Like, we actually want to see superstars play well to keep our interest here. And maybe it will this weekend, because I do think, is it this weekend that it returns back to the United States? Is this the second LIV Golf Challenge out on the West Coast?
The following.
So it's going to take another week off.
The Travelers, yeah. Yeah, they're the week after the Travelers.
Interesting. All right. So they don't want to get hot like right after. Now, granted, it would have been interesting if one of the LIV Golf guys actually won the Open. Like, man, we should have had a tournament this week. We could have just, like, promoted this all over the place. Catch the U.S. Open champion only on our golf tour. Would have been so much fun to watch and see how it played out. But it'll be on the front part here, and I guess we'll have that low week this week where, okay, PGA Talk will be around, but you don't have the LIV Golf Challenge to sort of bounce it out left and right and who had the better field and stuff like that.
Well, let me just say this. Now, again, I always offer this up where, you know, if I'm saying anything that's way off base, you know, you stop me because you know a little bit better than I. Donnie, the Travelers is like a decent level PGA Tour event, right? Like, it's not like a toss away, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, it has more precedent. We took up like a toss away. The week after the Masters, they go up to Hilton Head Island, which is a beautiful golf course. But that's like decompression week for half of the tour, where it's like, okay. Look, if you win the Masters, they rarely ever play in that tournament. But it's one of those where you're ramping up. It's almost like the week before the Masters and the week after. Those two tournaments get shotgunned together because, like, man, I'm preparing for the Masters, and then I put so much into the Masters, I need a week off. It's not like that.
Well, that's why I brought it up. Is let's see what that field at the Travelers, again, a non-toss-away event, looks like. There'll be some holdouts, I bet, because they were out there in the mix last week at the U.S. Open, and they take the week. I bet you there's a reason why we don't have the tournament odds on FanDuel yet, right? So I'm just saying, like, it's just what dishonest commentary that is to compare a major championship field as if those are going to be like as if those are the same thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. And we'll see how it plays out. But it's golf, and we've spent more. I actually was talking to somebody yesterday at a family party, you know, a little Father's Day action here. Like, do you guys actually talk golf at all? I said, to be honest with you, we really don't. But in the last 2 weeks, we've talked more golf combined than we've ever done. And it's not even really about the PGA Tour centered around like a major. So kudos to the Live Golf Challenge, who actually got us talking golf, even if it wasn't PGA or U.S. Open. So it is what it is at that point here. But also, flipping it back over to the NBA. Movers and shakers, right? We're not really going to get into the draft till later in the week, like, you know, give your synopsis of what you think is going to take place. But known from the draft, are we going to see any moves, like players for draft picks, or is there any anticipation for that? Or is this going to be a straight line, we'll see what happens, and not really too many guys get moved on draft night? Like the NFL, right? A.J. Brown goes to Philadelphia, he goes, oh my goodness, this trade goes there, oh my goodness. Does that happen a lot in the NBA?
So it's a great question to ask. Now, I try my best to not get caught up in the rumor mill. Not in that they're false, but I am someone who'd be like, oh my goodness, every single pick is going to get traded. And then you go, that was disappointing, wasn't it? There wasn't all too much movement there. With that being said, there are a lot of teams rumored to be interested on moving on for picks for more of a win-now situation. I don't necessarily know what it is that has everybody inspired. We can, as I know we're hitting the break, if you want to get specifics, we can. But there seems to be a lot of teams. You know, Donnie, what we always say, either win a title or tank. There seems to be some teams that would be overwhelmed with joy if they could be the 7th seed in their conference. Teams want to be in the playoffs, which is good, and it should lead to some trades.
Apparently not the Sacramento Kings there, as they're apparently ready to trade out and not make the playoffs for yet another year. If you want to get involved here this afternoon on Moneyline, you know how to do it. It's 844-843-6879. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back on Moneyline here on a Monday afternoon, kicking it around a little bit. Nice little decompression day, right? We got the Stanley Cup playoffs resuming tonight. Stanley Cup Finals Game 3 down in Tampa. But before we get to that, and I have a question. I always get angry at organizations that do this. For a while, you have, let's just say, a scouting department for an NBA franchise. As soon as the season ends, and quite frankly, all during the season, they're shifting their odds, shifting their board of where these players should be picked, prospects, where they're going to go, how many opportunities you have. And then you have the NBA draft where it says, okay, let's see where we actually are drafting at. And I talk about the Orlando Magic drafting at number one. So I see a report today, and Orlando president Jeff Weltman says this: I tell you, it's still early in the process. Which, and then says, translated to the Magic, say they don't know who they want Thursday night. Now, if I'm the owner of the Orlando Magic, I walk down that room and I say, number one, give me the straight, honest truth here. And they go, yeah, you know what? It's really close to a couple guys we don't know yet. I say, everybody, here's your pink slips. Pack up and get out. What have you been doing for the past year getting ready for this draft where you have the number one overall pick and you are not sure, which means we're going to come down to Thursday night and flip a coin? Thanks and goodbye.
So it's really, really incredible, right? And this weekend, I was really trying to do some diving into this number one pick situation. Because it's, again, honestly, it's pretty funny. Because, I mean, Donnie, you're pretty, like, you're not a huge NBA draft guy,
no.
Right?
No.
But you've been fascinated by the number one overall pick odds, I would say.
Sure.
Right? I mean, this guy's minus 600. The next day, he's minus 140. It doesn't even make any sense there, right? Without Woj basically being like Jabari Smith, you know what I'm saying? Like some concrete information. It's been very surprising. Here's what my read on the situation is. Chen Holmgren is being non-cooperative throughout the draft process.
Porzingis
style. So I'm starting to wonder here a little bit. Okay, maybe they are interested in Chet Holmgren, which I thought made sense initially, right? I thought Chet Holmgren would be their guy, but they're like, listen, number one overall pick, face of the franchise, turn this thing around, and this guy won't give us any medicals, a seven-footer Donnie, who's 195 pounds. I understand the worry there a little bit. Here's the other piece of the puzzle that I think could be throwing them off some degree, is I think the Rockets, who have a total of 3 first-round picks, including the number 3 overall pick, are interested, this is, again, the read here, in seeing if they could get to number 1 overall in order to select a Chet Holmgren. The worry, I think, for Orlando, then, is, if as falling back to 3, is Paolo Banchero legitimately good enough to be this considered a big 3? Or are we now, in a 2-person draft, taking ourselves out of the top 2? So, is it early? No, it's not early. It's Monday. It's not early in the process. But I do think they actually are missing some very important information in that draft room.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how, like, you're a draft prospect, and it's kind of odd that it plays out this way, because what should actually take place is all 30 teams or whatever, how many teams are in the NBA? Is it 30?
30,
okay. So 30 teams in the NBA. Everybody has to, if you enter into the draft, submit your medicals to the entire league, right? So they can go around. It's so interesting that I can hold it back. And the reason I brought up Porzingis is because when the Philadelphia 76ers were very interested in drafting Porzingis, but he was on that train to say, all right, I'm forcing my way to New York. I'm not going to work out for anybody. Nobody gets my medicals but the New York Knicks. Because he wanted to go there. And I just find it kind of odd where it's like, well, even, like, I understand, like, these guys are eventually going to make so much money, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But there is something about being, like, the number one overall pick and making the most money guaranteed as the number one overall pick. And these guys are like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to be anywhere near Orlando, so I'll sacrifice being the number one overall pick to go somewhere else. It's such an odd philosophy that we're really not used to.
And the pride in being, I think, selected first overall would have also... you would have thought would apply. Also, I'm surprised that Chet Holmgren doesn't want to go to Orlando. Again, how many times have I talked here about the relationship between he and Jalen Suggs, high school teammates? A big reason that Chet Holmgren chose Gonzaga is because Jalen Suggs chose Gonzaga. So it's very odd that he's not trying to position himself to go to Orlando. That throws me off a little bit as well, right? Also, I don't know, living in Orlando or living in Oklahoma City.
Well, that's also the thing, because it's not as if, like, okay, Houston is 3rd, right? You know, big market city there, very, you know, be out and about. You live in Texas, very low taxes. I understand that makes sense, but also, like, Orlando. Like, you're in Florida. Is it the best franchise in the world? No. Would you rather be with, like, the Heat or the Lake? I mean, I get it. It's not a bad place to live. And also, you're taking a look there at massive amounts of taxes that you will save. But the point of it is, Oklahoma City is 2. It's not as if it was New York City that was 2. Like, whoa, we get by Orlando. You're going to the Big Apple. Uh-huh. You could turn that franchise around, the marketing capabilities, you know, the worldwide acclaim. This is very odd. We're saying, I don't want to go to Orlando, but I would go to Oklahoma City. It's very odd.
And you know, listen, despite Oklahoma City always at some point in the year putting a product on the court that I genuinely believe they should be fined millions of dollars for, really. And I think it should almost be audit. I think really what they should do with their starting lineups is the NBA should say, okay, you can't charge any money for home games.
Yes.
With that free lineup that you're putting out there, and then see if they bench Shade, you know, Gilgeous Alexander for 40 games a year. But with that being said, there is talent on that roster. And Donnie, if you're a young big man, listen, I can go to high school all I want with Jalen Suggs. Shade Gilgeous Alexander is a guy that we've talked about as a star. Donnie, weren't you betting him over points prop for
yes.
like 15 games in a row at a 13-2 clip? I mean, you know,
the guy was priced at like 24 and a half and scoring 30 every night. And nobody could figure it out. And the book's like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. We'll keep fading this. And it just didn't work out in their direction. Yeah. But I hear you on that. But it's very odd to see. You could be number one overall. You go to Orlando. We're like, you know what? I'm going to fight to not go to Orlando. I'd be happy to go with Oklahoma City. They've had talent in the past. They can't keep the talent. We'll see if they can actually draft effectively, keep talent, and finally start to turn on the gas. I'd love to see, like, oh, they have a million first-round picks. Well, that doesn't mean anything unless you can actually win basketball games and turn those players into projected veterans and players that'll stick around on your team.
I can't also, though, I think you said, I can't believe the NBA doesn't make the medical
yes.
like, part of the process.
Like, if you want to be, do you want to be in the NBA? Yes, I do. Send your medical. Oh, I don't want to send them in. Well, okay, good luck next year in the draft, pal.
It's like such a, because also, I think, Donnie, like, I'm pretty sure I read this correctly, and I didn't read this all on Twitter, so I feel, you know, all right about this, like, that he actually declined, like, the heart screening process. If I'm not mistaken, that's the thing that, you remember Isaiah Austin out of Baylor, who they, like,
yes.
they caught the problem, like, yeah, like, sorry, yeah. but, like, you're not healthy enough to play in the NBA?
Yes, correct.
Like, how is he turning that down? Like, how is that not like?
Did he go to the combine? He didn't go to the combine, I assume, right? Because he's not going to improve his draft stock.
No.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you this: that NBA draft combine is maybe the biggest single combine joke in sports. And Major League Baseball is doing one now. Donnie, literally, if you're going in the lottery, you don't show up. The thing is, a second round draft exhibition there. I mean, it's
yes.
a huge waste of time. Huge waste. What's, of time.
Not for Wancho though. I mean, that guy went to the draft combine, tore it up, and. You know, apparently
James
is now
is
one of the best players. Exactly. So don't disrespect the draft combine compared to Hustle the movie, which is now I see, oh, it's really good. It's really good. Did you watch it yet? Did you get a chance?
No, I haven't watched it.
All right, let me just give it a lay of the land. I'm not going to tell you what happens, even though it's really wouldn't matter if I told you and you watched it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, like, my guy Wancho goes to the draft, and that's where, like, he can't get in. He may not get drafted, and he somehow sneaks into the combine. And you know how the rest of that story goes at that point. So that's part of the movie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we say, like, oh, it's insignificant now. And you're right. When we were watching a couple days ago, I told you. I watched a guy, and I had never heard of any of the guys in my life because apparently I didn't even know if they were caught, where they were coming from, high school. But I don't even think they cared. I think their agent goes, hey, look, you just got to show up and put a T-shirt on, and whatever you do is up to you. And like, all right, ready, go, jog down. I don't know. I mean, just
now,
my
I
goodness.
Heard, hold on, I got to bring us on the, I think you'll get, now I heard,
all right.
you tell me, Anthony Edwards' character
yes.
in the movie.
Yes.
Am I, now see this, I'm not sure how much of a detail, you know, guy
yeah.
you are when you watch a movie. Is it true that he went to Kentucky in the film?
I don't even know if I was even paying that much attention at that point. I have no idea.
The tweet basically said, it is so unbelievable how it is fictional to the point where basically, you know, to the along the lines of a guy can, you know, sneak into the combine or whatever it might be and become an NBA superstar,
uh-huh.
that it still would have been too ridiculous to pretend that the number one player in the world went to Georgia instead of Kentucky. And if that's true, and Anthony Edwards was billed as Kentucky from that
Love
movie,
it.
As somebody that went to Georgia in the SEC, like, is that not, like, don't you think that would have been something that Anthony Edwards would be like, hold on a minute now, like, do I really have to be from Kentucky? Like, he literally went
yes.
to Georgia, Donnie, and went number one overall. And they're like, yeah, that's a little ridiculous. You went.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, Adam Sandler's running the movie. Like, hey, yeah, I would love to be in it. Hey, by the way, you're going to be from Kentucky. Now, hold on here. Like,
yes.
I'm not going to be from Kentucky,
yes.
man. Like, at
yes.
least say I'm coming out of, like, high school or just something
yes.
random like that at that point. But, yeah,
dude,
correct. Like, wait, I went to school. I put my show on in the SEC. Yeah, we weren't the greatest team in the world. But, my goodness, like, I didn't want to go to Kentucky. Now you're going to put me on Kentucky at this
correct.
Point. Unbelievable stuff here, as it turns out. But there's another saying, as you like to say, where if you're saying, okay, Kentucky, not believable, How about not even getting to the combine, finally getting there, and then cooking the number one draft pick overall? It happened. Come on back on Moneyline. We'll be here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on Moneyline on a Monday, talking some NBA, mixing in some Major League Baseball. It's Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh, 844-843-6879. The Mets, if you are a Yerfy backer, which is yes, runs in the first inning, you cashed in a ticket. Now, if you are an over backer, you saw multiple guys get on base between both teams, and you come away with one. We all know how that usually goes in Major League Baseball, where you say, you know what, one just slipped away from us. That should have been a three-inning score minimum, and you got one run. But right after it, again, the Marlins on base to lead off the second inning as Rojas shoots a single through the left side. And now this, let's just see updated numbers here, because that was probably a wild change in pricing, which we had the eights down to the 7.5. Now we're back up to 8.5 here, and the Mets is a favorite, strong favorite here, of a minus 260 up in New York. Nice day out here today in the Northeast. We'll keep an eye and track to see how that goes here. But just talking about having some fun in the NBA draft and see what happens. Now we do have, let me just double check here, because I just want to keep it in the NBA realm right now. The one thing that, you know, offshore books can do that, you know, onshore legal books can't do is post some future odds. So let's just have fun with this. And, you know, we don't have to give out the books or whatever it would be. But Bradley Beal's next team, if it's not the Wizards,
okay,
it's all bunched together. It's all close. So if I were to tell you where the odds are set at a plus 300 for a certain franchise to be the leader, who would you think that is?
It has to be Miami.
No.
That's crazy. I'll tell you
Miami's
this.
Third. Miami's third.
Not only is it crazy, it's wrong. Not only is it crazy, it's wrong. Like, it, I would be stunned if I change my tune and be like, ah, I guess I was misthinking here. The other team I've seen a connection to is the Lakers, but that's not who I think it would be.
Nope. The Lakers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th in line, 8-1.
Is there still some Sixers belief out there at number one?
Sixers behind the Lakers at 9-1. Look at that.
Wow. So, wow, you got nine different teams under 10-1. Boy, oh boy.
Yes.
Some odds there, but
we'll go backwards from the top five here. Number five is the Atlanta Hawks at 7-1.
All right. I mean, we know that they're in the market place for it. I haven't heard as much about Beal wanting Atlanta, but all right. Number five, Atlanta.
All right. Number four, the Brooklyn Nets at 6-1.
Largely nonsensical. I don't see the vision really... at all, is at least maybe I'm miscalculating.
A sign and trade, like what would that be?
Yeah, like so, Kyrie ends up somehow elsewhere. Beal ends up a Net, and there's another big. Like, I mean, my initial thought on that, to be honest with you, is just like what Kyrie ends up a Laker, Beal ends up a Net, and Russ goes back to the Wizards and averages a triple double in obscurity.
Ugh. Yeah,
like, is that yep, kind of what we're talking about all of a sudden, I guess? I don't – not a lot there for me, but I guess there's a gap that would need to be filled. All right.
Number three, the Miami Heat at 5-1.
Now, again, they legitimately, like, if you're paying attention to this stuff, are the favorites. There's one team that's come to mind that I'm expecting to land either one or two in this market that I will listen to, but the conversation will be interesting. But again, Miami really should be the favorites in this market.
Now, here's an interesting one here for Bradley Beal's next team.
Mm-hmm.
The Blazers second at 4-1.
About a 0% chance of that happening, all right?
So they're rebuilding under Dame Dash.
I mean, listen, is Bradley Beal better than C.J. McCollum? Yes. Does it still, I feel like, largely provide them a very comparable situation that they were in when McCollum was there? I think so. And I'm not sure if Beal is leaving Washington for that, though. I think he's leaving for a little bit more security in front of Miami. It's just so puzzling. And this is the other thing. Like, does the fact that, oh, well, they could give the Wizards Anthony Simons, I don't think that matters. Like, while Beal can be a free agent, and I think Beal is going to name his team here, the Blazers at two is a stunner.
Number one, the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. Now, okay. There's,
you even let you give a response here, here's how I look at the Boston Celtics one. Like, Bradley Beal is a scorer, right? Mm-hmm. You can't have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Bradley Beal. Because I understand we're not playing like, you know, NBA 2K where you just, you know, load up great players. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs they need shots on that team. They are going to be punching each other in the – you want to talk about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can't play together, nonsense behind the scenes? Wait till you see Bradley Beal get up there. I saw that one where, again, if you're playing just virtual GM, sign as many good players as you can and see what you can do. But how does that fit?
So I realized this as we were doing the list backwards, that Boston was going to land somewhere in that top two. The entirety of this is that Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum are both from St. Louis. Now, at that point, you might as well let Adam Silver create an expansion team called the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, why not? And just see if those two will kind of spearhead the organization at that rate, right? If that's really what we're doing. But to your point, if Beal says, hey, Jason, I'm out of here. Me and you, let's run this. I think Jaylen Brown's going to have to get moved on from. And I'm not even talking about from a how can these guys coexist, which is a tremendously fair point. I'm not too sure there's any other way to make the money work. That you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
All right, I'll ask it. Are you giving up on Jaylen Brown at his age for Bradley Beal to run the St. Louis Dream Team? I don't think you are.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, that's interesting. I see the Celtics 3-1. Maybe they have the ammunition and the players that, you know, Washington would want per se, but I just don't think it's a great fit. Like, are they a more improved team? You say, okay, let's just, for all intents and purposes, straight up, Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. It's not a better basketball team today, or when they actually get that, as opposed to what they were leading up to the finals. I don't see it as that way.
I think Beal is obviously a better offensive player. I think he's a more reliable offensive player. You're taking a bit of a hit on the defensive side of the basketball, but Boston, if you're Boston, you should be able to withstand that, considering you have the defensive player of the year, who's now clearly the most overrated defensive player in the entire sport. Tatum's a plus defender. Robert Williams is an elite rim protector. So I would disagree a little bit. I think they're better. Is that a little too risky? Is that a little too risky? And also, don't you kind of then need the stamp of approval from Jason Tatum to push that through, where Jason Tatum has to go, yes, I want you to trade Jaylen Brown to bring in Bradley Beal? That's a little ruthless from Jason Tatum, isn't it?
Yeah, but I guess he would be the one that's going to get the okays, because you're trying to look at how the structure of the team is built also. It's not so simple. It's like, oh, just get, well, Marcus Smart doesn't fit our team, so let's bring in Bradley Beal. That doesn't help out with what you needed a point guard or why you got rid of Marcus Smart at that point here. But it's just interesting that the Celtics, according to this offshore book, are the favorites in the clubhouse here. Now, like a Bradley, you know, like a Bradley Beal, like I see behind the Sixers, like the Sixers at 9-1, Bradley Beal would fit well in that team because they always need an extra shooter, score, slash from the perimeter to try to offset Joel Embiid down low. But like the Mavericks sit the same as the Sixers, 9-1. And we always talk about, or we were talking about, you want to try to take the next level here with the Mavericks, like an elite scorer that can really get it going and play off of Doncic. Like, Beal would work out very well in that role because Doncic's going to have the ball in his hands, create, and that's one of those guys that can fill it up and say, you know what, you can't just double and triple team me. This other guy is going to be able to score. Not saying like, oh, we have some nice, you know, secondary type players like Dorian Finney-Smith and Jalen Brunson, but come on, he would fit beautifully on that basketball team.
He would. I think it's a... is concerning the right word? I think it's a little bit of an issue that we are not hearing. Again, I think the Dallas Mavericks are maybe enjoying the comparisons to the early LeBron Cavs teams maybe more than they should. It seems like people are forgetting how that played out and that LeBron left.
Yes.
The early Cavs teams, that seems to be forgotten. And the reason he left is because they didn't give him enough, because they added Antoine Jameson at the deadline instead of Amari Stoudemire, because they needed to keep J.J. Hickson. Like, Donnie, right? Basically being like, come on, we got Christian Wood and Jalen Brunson. Yeah, but Zach LaVine and Bradley Beal were out there. Like, you see, you kind of, like, Dallas should be pressing it down. We should at least be hearing they're trying to, I think, more than we are.
Yes, you're right, and we should be hearing that. And maybe it comes from Luka Doncic, who can put that power, or use his power, I should say, against the organization. Like, I always like to talk about, like, when LeBron James, not when he left Cleveland, because they had him. Like, oh, he's our guy, and we pay him a lot of money. He's not going to leave. Then he left. In order for LeBron James to come back, he basically said, I'm going to sign the max contract, but a series of one-year opt-out clauses where at the end of the season, if you say, hey, man, we're really up against it, because if you lock into a five-year max contract, it's very easy for Dan Gilbert to be like, hey, you know what, LeBron, we gave you all you needed. I'm not paying that luxury tax. And what are you going to do about it? Sit out, because I got you for another 4 years. But LeBron doing those opt-outs every year goes, hey, look, I need more players. It's going to cost about $40 million in luxury tax. You know, I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'll opt out. All right, LeBron, fine. Who do you need? What do you need? And it doesn't matter what the funds are. I just feel like Luka Doncic needs that for the Mavericks, where he would just turn it against him and say, I can leave, and I will leave, and I'll force my hand, because you got to be kidding me. You know, every other team would just be doing what they did for LeBron James, where it's like, we talk about tampering, and if Bradley Beal's going to go somewhere, yeah, I made up my mind here. How about LeBron James goes out to dinner with Pat Riley, and all of a sudden, mysteriously, players start to disappear over the next 5 to 6 weeks from the Heat roster and say, well, what do you, it looks like you guys are tanking, and you have like $50 million open up in cap space. Yeah, we'll see what happens in the offseason, knowing that the Miami Heat aren't going to liquidate their entire roster because they might have thought they were getting LeBron James. They knew they were getting him here. So I always look forward to this tampering and where Bradley Beal is going to go, because it seems like one of those things we've been asking for years now. Same thing with Damian Lillard. Do you want to leave? No. Your team stinks. So what? I just want to get paid and everybody leave me alone. Well, maybe he's going to say, you know what? It's about time to cash in these chips. But what happens if he says, Kevin, I know where I want to go. Then comes out a few days later, he goes, you know what? It's always where I wanted to be, staying here in D.C., and I'm so happy to sign like a $500-whatever-million contract coming up, which would be ridiculous for Bradley Beal, but he's just going to be like, you know what? We're going to build a winner here. No, full well, they're not building anything, but he is going to get paid.
The one thing I will say, though, is I do think at times NBA players will end up in some odd situations where, Donnie, right, we can kill a guy for lack of loyalty while simultaneously they're being like, this guy doesn't want to win at all, right? But the thing about Beal is nothing about Washington feels promising. At least the Blazers, Donnie, foolish or not, keep telling Dame they're going to do whatever they can to bring in stars. Now, Dame might turn around and be like, well, hold on a minute. Why'd you trade everybody then when I sat out for half the season? You know what I mean? But at least they're saying they're going to make some moves.
Yes, Dame Lillard looking to get paid. Bradley Beal looking to get paid. Where they get paid, I don't really know if they even care. But I'll tell you who cares. Us. That's why we'll be back on Moneyline here right after this quick break. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, it's that special time of the day here on Moneyline where it's teaser time. From JP, the producer behind the scenes here on a Monday, a fantastic Monday. So, Major League Baseball is here. The baseball guy himself, JP. Where are we going today? Side, total, prop? What do we have?
We're going with another total. It's been working. I'm rolling with it still.
I like it. All right, so it goes with a total. So now I guess we have to guess the actual game and also if it's going to be an under today at this point.
So I mean, that's the problem. Is guessing this total now is a bit of a fool's errand,
yeah.
Right?
Because I think you could just change it any moment.
Yeah, because he's done an over and an under. We're two picks in. And yeah. He also sent out bait. He's like, he told us this behind the scenes, that he had this plan of the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. But he's not touched any of those games.
Yeah.
So,
I think, what does he have to do? Does he have to send us like a text to like our group text, but we don't check it for like a couple, you know what I mean? Just so it's at, so it's not like one of those, I switched it on you as soon as you said it.
The thing about that is, but Don, he's already checked that box. Like the first day he agreed with you, the second day he didn't, right? I believe every single thing JP's bringing to the table. I just think he's a total, despite the fact that this is what, an 8-game board, right? So we have 8 totals to choose from. And then if you go to the over or under, like 16, I feel hopeless out here. I have my guess. Do we give it now or next segment? I never remember.
What our guess is? No, we got to give it after the break because you need a couple minutes to digest, even though
right.
I'm pretty much squared up on one play, which I do think JP is going to get after, but we'll see. But I do think he should send it now where I don't check it and you don't check it. So it's like time stamped, you know, like they have like the, oh, we're going to put this draft pick in. We'll seal this envelope and send it in. And after the draft, I'll tell you who you were supposed to draft at that point. So we'll see if it makes some sense in that fashion. But I do. I'm squaring up on 2 games here. I'll make my decision, as will you two, over the break here to see where JP is actually going. But stay with us here in the 2 o'clock hour. If you want to tune in, phone calls. How was your Father's Day weekend? Was it great? 844-843-6879. We'll be right back here on Moneyline on the Grid.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.